Howdy folks, today's episode comes to you from the Photography and Video Show at the NEC in Birmingham, the biggest photography trade show in the UK. It's an incredible spectacle with over 250 exhibitors, a multitude of stages, plenty of education, and a fantastic opportunity to get your hands on the latest and greatest, learn new skills, and meet some of the greatest talent in photography today. I spent a few days at the show talking to the makers and shakers about what's hot, what's not, and what's coming your way in 2024. So let's go. I'm here at the Sony stand with Luke Curtis. Luke, what's great and what's new at Sony this year?
For us, the headline feature is the 89 Mark III and then the 300mm 2.8 telefocus lens. So that are the latest and greatest. And the reason that are the latest and greatest for us is the 89 Mark III is the world's first full-frame global shutter sensor. So no longer are we using an interlaced mechanical shutter system. We're using a global shutter, which allows for, you know, shooting at such a high frame rate. Gives you a lot of creative freedom in terms of using strobe photography because you're not having that issue of sync speed. Gives you a lot of options in terms of, like, top-end professional sports photography and high-end stills flash photography.
So not having to use sync speed with strobes is huge.
It's massive. It means if you look at situations where you get an overpowering backlight, such as maybe a sunset or something like that, and you want to expose the subject, previously you'd have to use technologies like high-speed sync and things like that, and that's the strobe head that allows for that to happen. This is using the camera to allow it to happen. So you can compete with, like, really overbearing kind of backlight. But then also the other aspect of it is for high-end speed photography. So for sports, the Olympics is coming up. There's a camera here that is really going to allow you to be able to shoot at an incredible high frame rate. So at the moment, this is boosted 120 frames per second, which is incredible speeds.
Phenomenal. And you've paired it up with a 300?
300, yeah. So it's very rare that you get a launch of a body and a lens at the same time that work in such beautiful harmony. So this is our new 300mm 2.8. Now, this is a lens that people were crying out for. They were saying, Sony, we want this lens, kind of bring it to market. We've now done it, and we've done it in an incredibly small form factor. I mean, this is a professional top-end sports camera that you can hold in one hand, you know, with a grip from any position. It's very rare you get to shout that with a 300mm lens and a top-end performing sports camera.
Yes, I shot a 300 in Norway only recently, and I felt like I had to work out just to use
breaking the sweat. Exactly. Well, now you can see, look, the difference is incredible. And it means, you know, if you are working all day, you know, a sports event, this is going to give you the ability to just keep on working.
I can lift this with one hand. Easily. That's a fully fledged 300. That's phenomenal.
Full frame.
Amazing.
A 300mm fixed lens, global shutter. I mean, it's a lot of technology, a lot of power held in a single hand, which is going to open up a lot of opportunities for professionals.
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. You've got a massive stand here at the show. It's phenomenal. But any other news coming up?
So any other news? The other thing that's recently new is we've now launched another new lens. So we announced it a couple of weeks ago. So we launched a 24 to 50, which is a lens kind of specification that you don't see across many brands. And this is more aimed at that hybrid shooter that's kind of shooting across stills into video, that wants something that's going to shoot wide, but then also go up to that really beautiful nifty 50 kind of range. So we now have a 24 to 50 2.8 all the way through, which is a really popular lens for, like, this young, emerging creator field that are really torn between, like, shooting stills and shooting video, having to do them both very well. And here's a lens that will allow us to do so.
But you're super busy this year to show. I actually feel it's busier than it was last year.
Yeah, definitely. I think over the last few years, we've been noticing shows kind of get back up to full capacity. This year compared to 2022, the moment we opened the shop at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's been heaving all the way through. The Monday, traditionally, at this show is more of a pro crowd. So we would expect traditionally a smaller footfall, but this has been as busy as it's been all week. And it's great for us. It's great to have lots of people on the stand playing with our kit.
Phenomenal. Now, let's take a little view forwards. Anything that you could tell us about that's gonna come out later on in 2024, 2025?
Obviously, I'm not privy to talk about things that we've got coming out. I'd love to tell you. I actually don't know. And I think, to be honest with you, we're spoiled for choice. You know, if we just look at this combination here, this is leading. There isn't another camera that can do this at the moment. So in terms of being ahead of the pack with technology, we're spoiled for choice. We don't really need to do anything else. We've got a full-frame global shutter lens, a 300mm that's designed for sports photographer. We've got everything we need right here for the minute.
Luke, thank you so much. That's a lot to look forward to from Sony. And if you are into sports photography, for example, that might just be the body for you. And as a studio photographer, I'm very excited about a global shutter.
Amazing. Thank you ever so much for stopping over.
Thank you so much, Luke.
I'll see you soon.
Cheers, man.
After that brilliant chat with Luke from Sony, I headed straight over to Nikon to have a chat with the guys about some exciting news coming from Japan.
We're here at Nikon, or is it Nikon, with Rob Magnese. Is it Nikon or is it Nikon? I ask it every year.
It depends what part of the world you come from. I mean, the Americans will call it Nikon. Most people in Europe call it Nikon. But actually, the Japanese call it Nikon. So there's three different variations of the pronunciation, but I always go with Nikon.
Now I have to remember three different ways of pronouncing this. It's not getting easier, is it? I've been shooting Nikon or Nikon or Nikon for at least 25 years.
Fantastic.
So I've been on a journey as far as development is concerned. What's new this year? You've had some really exciting products come out this year.
We definitely have. And I've been on a long Nikon journey like yourself. And I have to say that this is probably one of the most exciting years I've ever been at this show. We've got wonderful technology and we're making class-leading products right now. So we've got the flagship Z9, which launched 2 years ago. But for some photographers, maybe can't justify that expenditure. So we've got the Z8, which has got all the great technology from the Z9. Worth saying that the Z9 was product of the year 2 years ago. The Z8 was the product of the year last year. And also we've launched last year the awesome retro-looking ZF, which if you've come from an original Nikon journey like myself, starting with film cameras, it's got that retro feel, but it's still got our latest technology as well. So it's a fantastic camera and turning a lot of heads for sure.
Exactly. And that was really one of the reasons why, you know, originally I looked at Fuji for that retro feel form factor. And since the ZF, I've definitely been sort of looking back at Nikon for exactly that.
Absolutely.
There's been so many developments, but also, of course, Nikon has acquired RED cameras this year.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that? And what can we expect from Nikon?
I don't know anything about it yet. We genuinely don't. I mean, it's a business decision that's been made. We're really excited about it because they've got some great technology. We've got some great technology. Hopefully we can share some synergies and hopefully some of their technology will filter down into our cameras and maybe vice versa. But we really don't know. But we're so excited about the prospect of working together. It's obviously all the access to Netflix and things like that as well. So it's a big, bold move for Nikon, but we don't have any details at this stage. I think it's going to take a while before anything happens, but it's going to be good for sure.
I'm going to be badgering you guys over the next 3 months to find out more about it because this is super exciting. For somebody who does stills photography and video, this is really very exciting news, especially on the video front, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's fair to say that we're putting some of the best video capabilities into our cameras, like the Z8 and the Z9, but we don't have that real heritage of video like some other brands. But with the synergy with RED, we'll see that come through for sure. And I think it will be a real sort of stamp on the video industry for Nikon. Definitely.
Phenomenal. So Nikon is also very known for producing excellent glass. What's new on the lens front this year?
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Nikon's been around for a little over 100 years now, and we've always been a lens manufacturer. So we make stunning cameras, but we also make some of the best optics in the world as well. And Nikon have, different work in different sectors with lenses, optical products and sports optics and things like that and microscopes. But you know with a Nikon, you're getting the best glass that's out there. So we've had some wonderful introductions over the last couple of years with the Z mount. The Nikon F mount has done well for us, but it's over a 60-year-old technology. So the Z mount is definitely the future, and we've had the 800, 6.3, 400, 4.5. So for a lot of wildlife photographers who can't maybe justify the big F4s and the expensive F4s, we've got some really affordable but really, really good quality glass that you can have. So there's a lot of good lenses out there, and I'm sure there's still more to come with the Z range as well.
As always, every year there's a lot of education going on at the Nikon stand as well. We've got the stage again this year.
Yeah.
What can visitors expect this year?
Oh, a lot of really good education from two of the best professionals in the business. We've got my colleague Rishi, who everyone knows, I think, and Neil Freeman talking on the Nikon school stage. So we can inspire a lot of photographers to do better with their photography and get the best out of their cameras. But we've also got some really good Nikon ambassadors and Nikon creators talking. We've got a guy who I know very well coming up shortly, Leon Neal, who works for Getty Images, probably one of the world's best photojournalists. So a lot of really inspirational talks and knowledge and things like that. And everyone's been telling me that the Nikon school stage has been one of the busiest stages here. So it's really good and really great to work with some big names in the industry as well.
Yeah, so that's what I've noticed over the last day or two. There's been massive crowds hanging around the Nikon stage. Yeah. It's a fantastic attitude to have. That's exactly what we do here at the Camera Check Podcast. You know, I learn every day. If you guys listening or watching, learn a thing or two, then it's mission accomplished. Rob, thank you so much for talking to us.
It's nice to speak to you.
And of course, the photography show would be nothing without an incredibly dedicated team that makes sure everything runs the way it should. And as every year, I linked up with my buddy Pete to chat about how this year's show compares to previous years.
I'm here with Peter Tretway, as ever, one of the main organisers of a lot of the stages. How's it been going this year?
It's been a really, really good show this year. So I'm one of the stage managers for the live stages here. And my job is just to kind of greet the speakers, make sure they've got everything they need, make sure the talks go nice and smoothly. And I have to say, we've had a real great engagement from the crowd and the audience this year. We've had, I would say, record-breaking crowds. I think after an 18-month hiatus away from the show, people are just so glad to be back. And we've just had some incredible crowds on the stage. Some really good engagement, loads of great questions. It's been a really, really good year.
Even just walking around the show, it's immediately obvious how busy it is. I mean, a year and a half ago, it was good, given that we were just coming out of COVID and everything. But it's definitely back. Would you say it's back to sort of pre-COVID levels?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You mentioned COVID. And 18 months ago, it was really difficult because I think we were just coming out of the tail end of COVID. So I think a lot of people were perhaps staying away. A lot of the vendors were thinking, well, is it worth it for us this year? Are we going to get that footfall? So maybe a few of them did stay away. But this year, it seems to have come back with a vengeance. Record crowds. And it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, the stages, the auditoriums have been packed. And also, there's been an incredible lineup of speakers this year.
Yes, well, yourself included, obviously. On my stage, I've had the likes of Julianne Cost, Scott Kelby, Joe Bradford, you know, a huge, huge lineup of incredible photographers. So personally, from my point of view, it's been great to be able to witness a lot of that. I would have come to the show anyway. I used to come to the show before I worked here. So for me to come here and see all these incredible speakers is just amazing.
Have you had some time to look around the show for yourself?
I have, very briefly. Yeah, there's a few show deals that I've got my eyes on from Canon. It's wonderful just being able to wander around and just see everything that's on display. All of the manufacturers are here. So it's great to just have everyone in one place, get to see whatever you want. It's fantastic.
And as always, the photography show is not just a show to go to for great deals and everything else and to look at products, but it's also an amazing opportunity to make connections and get to know other photographers.
Absolutely. So even before I came here, before I started working here, for me, this was a huge networking potential. And not even just to meet new photographers I'd met before. It's a huge social thing as well. So photography, you know, we sometimes work quite isolated, and we know lots and lots of people in the industry, and we can call on different people to help us, but we generally work on our own. So when we come to an event like this, it's great just to be able to see those people that you've not seen for the last year, get together, have a real good chat about what you've been up to and the kind of business that you've been doing. It's just a fantastic event all round.
And this is, of course, day four that we're recording.
Day four,
yeah. Almost there. It's been four fantastic days. Are you glad to make it back home?
Oh yeah, I've loved being here, and again, I've loved seeing everyone. But I'm ready for my own bed now. I'm ready for a good night's sleep, some nice comfy pillows, my own pillows. Yeah, but I can't wait to get back next year. But yes, definitely good to go home.
And for those of you who don't know, Pete is an avid cyclist. He actually cycled here from Essex all the way to Birmingham. How long did that take you?
Unfortunately, it took 10 hours. It was 108 miles. I was hoping that it was only going to take about seven and a half, but the headwind killed me, unfortunately. But yeah, it was good fun. It was an adventure. Yeah.
Are you going to cycle back?
No, absolutely not. I don't fancy getting home at 3 a.m. So no, I'm getting the train home.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pete.
Cheers.
Amazing. As always, a pleasure. And well, we'll be milling around the show. And
absolutely. Yeah, great to see you.
And follow us as we move over to Canon right now.
The one stand you can't miss at TPS is, of course, the Canon stand. So I headed over for a chat with my friends at Canon to talk about some exciting new technology that Canon has to offer this year.
Hey, we're here with Canon, and I'm talking to Media Mithal. Media, what's new and what's exciting about Canon this year?
We've brought so many new products since the last photography and video show that we had. As you can see, we're standing in the VR area, so that's new. We're actually showcasing our EOS VR solution with the dual fisheye lens. We've got some VR content that's actually playing on the VR headsets and getting people excited, asking questions as well. And we have some of concept VR products that we're showcasing as well, which is potentially the future, just to showcase what we can do for VR solution, having different products for different audiences, different price points.
So obviously virtual reality is a huge thing now, and it's only going to get bigger in the future.
Yeah, definitely. And we want to be leading the way. I mean, we will see developments in the VR headsets. But when it comes to creating content, we want to be the leaders when it comes to that, because our solution, or the currently the EOS VR utility and other solutions, are simpler, easier in terms of creating that content and the workflow as well.
How does it actually work?
So with the dual fisheye lens, the 5.2 millimeter, which is a stereoscopic lens, so two images are taken, projected onto one sensor. So that's one of the advantages, because the traditional way of doing it is you're having two cameras, two lenses. So in terms of the content, you have to realign, you have to stitch. Well, as with ours, as you said, the capture is done on one with one sensor, one file. And then you put that file on EOS VR utility or a plugin for Adobe Premiere. You flatten kind of the image. And then depending on which camera you used, if it's the R6 Mark II, you'll have 4K VR content, 180 VR. And if you've used the R5C or the R5, you'll end up with 8K VR content that you'll need a VR headset to play on.
It's amazing to see Canon being like so involved in it so early on in the game, because I truly think that everybody's talking about AI, but VR is really going to be the next thing.
I got to be honest, VR does blow my mind. But it's not all about technology at the show. There's also a metric ton of education going on here. And one of the hardest working educators here is none other than my good buddy, Tommy Reynolds. I managed to catch up with Tommy for a quick chat, and his advice on working smarter, not harder, will blow your mind too. Have a listen to this.
Again, this is take two with Tommy Reynolds. Tommy, usually I say, look what the cat dragged in. I'm not going to say that today. It's amazing to see you again at the show. Thank you so much for taking out some time. I know you've had an incredibly busy day today. Run me through your day. I've seen you on every single stage at the show today. Like, what's going on?
It's been really, really busy. Today I've been on the editing stage talking about how you can adapt AI and automation within your wedding workflow. I've been doing some demos about using only one light. I've been doing that on the Photo Live stage and also on my sponsor stage, the Pixabro stand as well.
And then you gave a talk earlier about AI in conjunction with wedding photography.
Yes.
And how to simplify your workflow, basically, which is interesting because it sort of ties in with what I've been talking about earlier about video editing and using AI to make your life easier and to simplify everything. So give us a little bit of an insight into how you use AI to speed up your workflow.
I use several different tools, but I think the main one, the best one I use, is a tool called Imagine AI. And Imagine AI is a tool that allows you to edit all of your wedding images in one go. So let's say, for example, when you upload 3,000 of your edited images, what it does is it creates your own personal profile. Once you've done that, when you're then done and you want to then upload your wedding catalog, it will then edit all of your photos in about half a second each per photo. So you could have an entire wedding edited in about 10 minutes. Once it's done, you re-download your catalog. You can see all of the changes have been reapplied. But what's nice about this, and this is what the biggest pushback that people have when it comes to editing vast quantities of images, it's, well, how do I know if it's really going to be what I want it to be? And sure, it gets me about 90% there. I'm not 100% there, but that's okay. I mean, 90% there is still pretty good. When I want to make a little tweak, make a little change, I then re-upload the catalog back, and then Imagine will know what tweaks I've made. So my profile just continues to get better and better and better. I'm at a point now where I have 14,000 edited images on my profile. And I did a test recently when I edited one of my own images versus Imagine AI editing that same image. And I have to say, Imagine actually edited it a little bit better.
That itself is crazy. Well, that's where we are, right? 2024.
It's scary, man. But then maybe it was because I was tired. But that's another thing as well. We're human. I'm sure we've all been there when we're editing late at night. And then we come back the next day, we see the image and realize, actually, it's not quite there. Now I'm looking at it with fresh eyes. But of course, AI doesn't get tired. It doesn't have any of those struggles. So having a tool that gets me even just 90% of the way, it's just mind-blowing. It actually says on my profile, up to this point, I've saved approximately 208 hours using Imagine AI.
That is incredible. And, you know, I mean, one of the things I mentioned in my talk is that sometimes you're going to have to just spend a little bit of money in order to save a whole lot of time. You know, that's just this triangle of good, cheap, and fast. Only two of these things can ever be true. You know, if you want it to be good and fast, it's not going to be cheap.
Yeah. Well, But even so, I think it's very affordable. It's so this tool, as an example, it costs about $7 a month with and then 5 cents per photo. But if we take the price of, say, an in-house editing team who used to edit my photo, so a human was editing it, there's a big initial setup where I had multiple Zoom calls. They had to watch me edit. I send them my presets. They edit 20 random images to make sure that you're happy before they proceed. Then there's a two and a half week wait. Then it's 17p a photo. I don't have to worry about any of that. That could be about 250, maybe £300. Yeah. Imagine AI, 5 cents per photo. I get it back within 10 minutes. It costs me about £150 per wedding. It's absolutely no brainer.
Yeah, total no brainer. If there's a way that you can use modern technology or AI, you know, in order to save yourself some time and speed up the workflow, definitely do it.
100%, especially if you're a parent like we are.
Yes.
I mean, you can't put a price on time, especially when you do become a parent. So the fact I've got all this time back with my family,
Yeah. You
can't put a price on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would happily pay more for the service I'm using.
Yeah, 100%. I would hand over gold bars
to get that
time back, 100%. Tommy, as always, in education, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
You too.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you around the show tomorrow.
Thanks so much, mate. Thanks for having me.
Now, Lumina Neo has been redefining what post-production means in photography over the past few years. So I headed over to their stand to have a chat with Matthew Brown about how you can get the best out of your editing.
Right, I'm here at the Lumina stand with Skynum's Matthew. Matthew, how's it going, man?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for visiting the stand.
How's the show been for you so far?
It's been very interesting. We've managed to meet a great variety of our customers and indeed, you know, introduced the products as new customers. It's been really interesting for us seeing the different use cases for Lumina that we didn't know were even possible. People are doing some really creative things with the product. It's been a learning experience for us as well.
Give us a helicopter view of what Lumina is all about.
Sure. So Lumina Neo, it's primarily photo editing software. You can use it for cataloging as well. Many users will use it as a plugin for Lightroom and Photoshop, but you know, I'm an ambassador for them. I still catalog using Lightroom. I've got 900,000 images in my catalog. I am not prepared to go through that work. So I use it as a plugin for Lightroom, and it does a great job for me as a professional. I find that it just saves me so much time to get to a finished result. I use the presets very often, not always as a one-click solution. So for me, I view presets as something that I will click and it will get me maybe 70-80% of the way there for an edit. And then I can just add the last few percent to get it exactly where it needs to go. It's excellent for me as a time-saving solution.
Sounds exactly like what I was talking about all day yesterday, the 80-20 rule.
Exactly.
Perfectly explained. 80% of the result with 20% of the input.
Perfect.
You're winning.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fantastic. So what's new this year with Skynum?
The big announcement this year was Lumina for iPad. We already had a product that was working with Windows and Mac. So that was the big one this year. We have it on the stand. People are enjoying it. What I always say, you know, with iPads, you have a limited amount of screen space. So what we find is a lot of our professionals are now using this on the go, and maybe they will do preview kind of shots using iPad, and then they will do the full edit on their desktop or perhaps their MacBook or something like that.
So mobile and portability is the new, that's the new thing. iPads have become so powerful. We've just had a conversation before we went live about Final Cut for iPad,
yes,
which allows you to really do incredible video edits right there on the couch. I think that really is the future.
Oh, I fully agree. I fully agree. I mean, one of the things I'm trying to impress upon people all weekend is when we talk about technology, AI in particular, there is a sort of fear that we are relinquishing everything over to the machines, and that I compare it to cars. You know, it's a bit, think of AI more like cruise control and not fully self-driving. You know, you're still in the driver's seat, but you know, let AI take some of the weight off your shoulders.
the laborious tasks that nobody wants to do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the number one use case for me for the AI in Luminar is masking. You know, this is stuff you can do in other software. You can create a mask and maybe it takes you some time. With this software, you know, a couple of clicks and I can easily mask. In a landscape, it can mask me the mountains and the water, but maybe leave the sky unaffected. That kind of thing typically could be quite difficult to do manually when you have the brush and you go up and down or you've got to trace around. These are the tasks that we as photographers want to use AI for. And I hope everyone will agree this is what Luminar does quite handily. Yeah.
So no matter whether you're a landscape photographer, a portrait photographer, an event photographer, or a wedding photographer, Luminar really has solutions for no matter what type of photography you make and what sort of edits you make as well.
Yes, agreed. I mean, I shoot all genres, really. I got my start as a travel and landscape photographer. I do quite a lot of astrophotography as well. More recently, I've started doing more portraits and weddings. It covers everything. Of course, my presets are very, very different for those things. I haven't quite found somebody willing to get married under the stars. If anyone's watching, though, do get in touch because I would love to speak to you. You know, Luminar does a great job for me.
Fantastic. Where can people try it out?
You can go to skylum.com. You can download a 7-day trial of Luminar. We believe it's best to try before you buy. And what we find is when people try the software, they see what it can do, they love it. They end up buying. We do have a stand at the photography show, and it's great for us as the pros to show off our work. But there's never really a substitute for having a play around with your own work, you know? So do check it out. It's www.skylum.com, and you'll find the free trial there.
And as you mentioned earlier, it works perfectly as a Lightroom plugin as well. So if you're already using Lightroom, no problem. You can just integrate it seamlessly.
Absolutely, yes. We find that there's a bit of a misconception that we view ourselves solely as a competitor to Lightroom. I view us as a complement to Lightroom. And in fact, most of our pros feel the same way. And indeed, this is what I do myself. So the proof is in the pudding.
Hey, let me just jump in real quick to tell you about the amazing sponsor of this episode, Platypod. Platypod offers innovative camera support systems designed to unleash your creativity. With their stable, versatile, and portable solutions, you can capture stunning shots like never before. And I'm not just saying that. As the host of the Camera Shake podcast, I can personally vouch for Platypod's incredible products. They've become an integral part of the show. In fact, I'm surrounded by various Platypod products holding up lights, cameras, microphones, and so on. It's really helped to transform the way I make the show and the way I shoot at home, in the studio, and on location. But don't just take my word for it. Explore Platypod's website at www.platypod.com to discover their range of products, including the Platypod Extreme, Platypod tripod heads, and the brand new handle, of course. Make sure to follow Platypod on Instagram and Facebook at Platypod Tripods for exclusive updates, tips, and giveaways. But choosing Platypod, you're not only investing in your photography, but you're also supporting the Camera Shake Photography Podcast. Thanks again to Platypod, our amazing sponsor. Platypod, where innovation never sleeps.
I can't help but stumbling across well-known faces, and when I saw my buddy Ross Grieve demoing at the Hobo Light stand, I had to take the opportunity to say hello and find out more about these rather amazing little constant lights.
Yeah, I'm here with Ross Grieve. Ross, great to see you at the show. How are things going for you now?
Awesome, mate. Great to see you here too. It's been a fantastic show. People have really got the thirst back for photography after 18 months away. Yeah. And it's just been really intense, really good conversations over the last few days.
Amazing. Tell us a bit about what you're doing here on the stand.
So I'm here with Hobo Light, demonstrating their lights and shooting with continuous light. Sort of moving away from flash. I've been shooting continuous light for years now. What also impresses me with the Hobo Lights is the color consistency across it. So every photo I take, I know there's no color shift. And that's one of the most important things as well.
And it's the quality of the light is absolutely gorgeous, as we'll see in a second. And the footprint of these, they're tiny.
They are tiny. And the cases, as my partner Non will point out, are beautiful. She liked the cases, but I was like, the kit is incredible. They're very retro looking, very functional, but they're so well built. But they, like you say, so compact. Cool. And, you know, they're like lights on steroids, if you like.
Yeah. And Ross is also a fellow podcaster. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
So my podcast is called Talking Shot. That is S-H-O-T. And it is just about chats and stories. And, you know, we're going to hook up at some stage and do a podcast together. But it's just really good, engaging stories from a sort of plethora of photographers and filmmakers. And, you know, just the stories behind their careers, their lives, and some really good stuff on there.
And you know, what I loved about last night was the little demonstration that we did over at the, I can't remember what the name of the stage was.
Behind the Lens.
Behind the Lens.
Yeah.
That's it. We did 2 minutes each telling funny stories about mishaps on photo shoots and with editing. And it was super entertaining.
It was really entertaining. 10 fantastic stories. And I kind of missed the brief a little bit. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one because it was edited in Lightroom. Yeah. But fantastic stories. And your story about, you know, just doing a selfie and accidental success. I think everyone took away something from that as well. And it was really engaging. And I think, you know, it would have been great if that had been videoed and live, put out there live, because that needs to be done again.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Ross, thank you so much for talking to me. Today it's great to meet you.
You too.
And have a fantastic rest of the day. And then I'm pretty sure you're going to sleep well tonight, huh?
Oh, I'll sleep very, very well tonight for the rest of the week. Cheers, Phil.
There's been so much news coming out of the Fuji camp over the last few months that I just had to catch up with Andreas for a chat about two very exciting additions to the camera world. And when I say exciting, I mean I was really excited about getting my hands on these two.
I'm here at Fujifilm with Andreas. We're going to talk about everything that's exciting and new with Fuji this year. Andreas, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Very good. How's it been going on the show so far?
It's been really good, actually. It's been really busy. Lots of great conversations, lots of not so great conversations, but it's always lovely to speak to the people that give us the feedback and tell us what they like and what they don't like.
Fantastic. So what's new this year?
So the first thing I want to show you is the Instax Mini 99. So this was only announced on Thursday, just last week. And it is our premium analog Instax camera. And we all know how great Instax is doing for the business and how much everyone enjoys it. And the Mini 99 is just the latest addition to the range.
And you know, that's actually bad news for me because I'm an avid Instax shooter. And it just means that I have to buy yet another Instax camera.
This is probably the coolest Instax camera we've launched so far. So on the outside, it looks very classic, very traditional. So really retro. But then we obviously switch it on. We've got a little vignette mode.
Oh, yeah.
See, and actually it's making all those filters and everything analog that the team have worked really hard to do. So on the top dial, we've got lots of color filter modes. So we've got faded green, warm tones, light blue, soft magenta. And this is all done in camera. So if I just open it up, what you'll notice is the four LEDs.
Oh, yeah.
So when the light comes through the lens, those LEDs add that filter effect live. It's none of this post-processing, none of this Photoshopping nonsense.
Love it.
I've experienced recently. Yeah. This all happens true in real time. And The great thing we know about analog Instax cameras is once you've taken the picture, that's it. There's only one of them. Yeah. It is unique. It's special. It captures that moment.
Yeah.
And there's no better camera to do that than the Mini 99.
And of course, we got to talk about the one thing that everybody's been waiting for quite some time. That's the X100 6.
Yeah.
Here it is, live in the flesh.
Yeah, so the X100 6 goes from strength to strength. It's taken us by a little bit by surprise, but it's taken the world by storm. And it's one of the most pre-ordered cameras ever. So like since it was announced on the 20th of February. So 40 megapixel, latest processor, in-body image stabilization. The body size hasn't changed that much. It's the design that everyone loves and has been very similar for the last 10 years or so. It is what everyone is asking us for.
And again, bad news for me because as everybody on the podcast knows, I love the X100F. I've been trying to get hold of the V, wasn't able to get hold of one, and now we're moving on to the 6. So
we're moving on to the 6. So the guys in Japan are working hard to try and increase production, keep up with demand. So we'll see that in the next few months coming through. So it should become easier to get one. But until that time, you just need to be patient, unfortunately.
I mean, that's a great problem to have, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's much better than as if nobody bought the thing.
It is a lovely problem to have, but it's also frustrating for all those accountants in Hot Office saying we could have been selling more. But we're doing as much as we can to make sure that this camera is built as well as possible and making sure that we're building as many of them as possible.
Exactly. So if you are interested, if you are into street photography, and you want to mix it up with some video, because the new video capabilities on the 6 are phenomenal too, then just hang in there, hold out, because eventually you will be able to hold one in your own hands.
Yeah, we'd recommend placing an order with your local authorized retailer and just being patient and just enjoying all the content that's coming through and just making plans for all the things you want to photograph when your one finally arrives. Yeah.
As always, as expected, some great new products at the show. Thank you so much, Andreas, for talking to me.
Welcome.
And have a great remainder of the show.
Take care. See you.
Thank you.
Next, I headed over to say hello to Slav from Hand Painted Backdrops. Slav was a guest on the show about a year ago, and I was really looking forward to catching up with him here in Birmingham. I may also have bought one of his incredible canvas backdrops to add to my collection. In fact, if you look behind me, you can see it right here.
See, I found Slav from Hand Painted Backdrops. If you cast your mind back a little while, we did a whole episode on his amazing hand painted backdrops. So Slav, it's really good to see you at the show. This is day 4. How has it been for you so far?
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. You know, we meet a lot of people, so a lot of new people. Loads of my customers were already been my customers for a long time. Been coming back here, refreshing their portfolios, buying some backdrops, or just saying the hello. So it's been great, yeah.
And that's one of the main purposes of this show, actually. One of the really outstanding great things for me is that, you know, there's an opportunity to meet people in person. You know, like, we met online, but we've never actually met in person. It's always a great opportunity here.
Yeah, it is, you know, and it's very rewarding when people coming back, actually, and coming back for the more backdrops. That means we're doing the good job for them, isn't it? They like what we do. We're coming back. It's really rewarding for us. And we're seeing us and saying hello, you know, just hugging and stuff like this. So it's really, really good to be on the shows like this.
Yes, and it's amazing to be able to actually see and feel these incredible hand-painted backdrops. Tell us a little bit about your backdrops.
Yeah, the backdrops, idea is it's the backdrops are unique, painted by me. Every backdrop is you have own character, so it cannot be replicated. And to be fairness, I don't even, when I'm painting the backdrop, I don't even thinking about much about how to replicate the backdrop later, because I want to keep it unique.
And it's actually quite easy to get hold of them because you ship them literally worldwide, right?
Well, I did, yeah. I did to ship them to 26 countries by now, and people coming back, so I love it, yeah.
I'm not surprised they're coming back because your backdrops are absolutely stunning. There's a whole range, like this one, I don't know if you can see it, but right behind me, it's sort of a blue base with a gold, a sprouting of gold over the top, which looks absolutely phenomenal. I can imagine how great that would look on camera. But also, we've got all sorts of different. We've got a red over there. That's definitely going to be one of my favorites, 100%. And a whole range of amazing colors and shades. Hand-painted backdrops, I think, are a must for the contemporary portrait photographer, of course.
Yeah, it's very hard to say why the backdrops are different to the printed backdrop. When you're photographing the hand-painted backdrops, they perform quite differently to the paper backdrop or to the vinyl backdrops or printed backdrops. I don't know why, but they have this texture is kind of absorbing the light. It's only those few gold ones which I have, which is the shimmery ones. They usually, my backdrops are very matte and absorbing the light, and they're giving this feel of organic, something organic behind the person, you know. And also, what I always saying to photographers, the people will never ask you what camera do you use and what lens do you use. You are just a person with camera for them, but when you place the image printed on their wall, they will see something behind them every day. We might not notice this. We know we'll be pointing, oh, I have the hand-painted backdrop behind me. No, but that will catch the eye every time, you know, what you created for them. And that's another thing where it's very rewarding for me. My work is not just in your studio, guys, but it's also around the world with families on the wall. So that I feel like I'm giving something to the people more and more all the time by you photographing and creating this amazing work and putting them on the walls of your customers.
Yeah, I absolutely love the passion that you have for creating these backdrops. And I've seen some behind the scenes footage of you actually making them, and I find it absolutely fascinating. It's such a wonderful thing to do. Again, all I can equate that to, imagine the old masters, like the classic masters paintings. This, yeah, really has this sort of painterly effect.
Yeah, yeah. What that's what the idea is. What the old master backdrops we've been painting years and years ago, they had a little bit more colors added to the backdrop. I found this a little bit different now, and I'm trying to paint the backdrops with one color scheme, mostly maybe with two, with some exclusions, obviously. But the my work is done with one or two color schemes, and I'm trying to make them monotonic. What that does for the photographers, it's easier to match the outfit of the client. It's easier retouch after and color grade after, because those undertones from the underneath of the colors, they're not getting on their way when we're trying to color grade, when we're trying to make this look congruent.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's, again, I can only say they look great, but they also feel amazing. Slav, thank you so much.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Well, where there's video, there's audio, and I jumped on the chance to head over to meet up with Rode to have a look at the latest wireless GoPro microphones.
Right, I finally found the Rode store. I'm so happy to be here because, obviously, as you probably all know, I've been using Rode products for a very long time. And there's some new stuff that Rode has brought out only fairly recently, and I'm here with Adam to talk about exactly that. Adam, man, how's it going?
Yeah, good, man. Nice to meet you, and thanks for coming along to the stand. It's been great. We've had a great show this year. It's been great for Rode to be here. We've been meeting lots of people. Obviously, we're primarily into the photography, film, but also really getting interested in audio, and we've had a lot of interest in the wireless stuff. As you may know, it's maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, is it now? We originally brought out the Wireless Go and kind of transformed the industry standard of this kind of form factor wireless equipment. And then we brought out Wireless Go 2, which I would like to just actually show here that we just got from the organizers of the show. It actually won the an award for that was voted for by the people who came to the show last year as one of the best products. I think it's one of the best products. I don't want to... Best wireless microphone. There you go. It won Best Wireless Microphone last year in 2023.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I know. It was unexpected. It's a beautiful trophy. It really is. And since then, we've now brought out the Wireless Pro. So people are coming to this, coming to the stand. They're asking about the Wireless Go 2. And we're also explaining the benefits of the Wireless Pro.
Right, so here's the thing. So I've been using the Wireless Go 2 set for probably the last couple of years.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm really interested to see what's new and what's different about the Wireless Pro.
Yeah. So there's quite a few differences, and I'll hone in on the units themselves. I'll hone in on two of the big changes we've made. So the first thing is, well, both units record on board on the transmitters. They record up to 40 hours of audio. The Wireless Go 2 did, and the Wireless Pro does. The difference with the Wireless Pro is that it records at 32-bit float. So what that means in simple terms is that you can't clip the audio. You might be able to if you strapped it to the back of a jet engine and shot it out of the atmosphere, but it's really robust. The audio won't clip. So the audio you get on those units, once you put them into your external software, you know, the sound waves will be nice and full, and you won't have that clipped thing. So that's a big deal. And they also support time code as well, which means that when you put it into your software, you can bring that audio, bring the visual straight into alignment, no messing about. So the 32-bit float and the time code support is a big change from the Wireless Go 2. It's a big improvement. And then the other thing is it comes with a range of accessories. You get the charging case with the Wireless Pro. It holds... You put your two transmitters and your receiver in there, close it up, and you can charge it USB-C out through the back. The case itself holds 8 hours of charge, You've also got eight hours of charge on the units themselves. So you've got, you know, you're out there with 16 hours of charge, should be plenty for most use cases. So that comes with it. Also, you get two road lav mics, I might add, with the unit as well. Obviously, it has there's microphones on the microphones on the receivers. But if that's not if you don't want to use that, you can just clip in your lav mic, like you could on the Wireless Go 2, of course, and then put it like that. Also, with the Wireless Pro, you get the magnetic the mag clips, which again click on the back, and it means you can just clip them straight onto your shirt as opposed to clipping them onto your lapel or anything. Right. Just a nice little feature, very handy. Also comes with it, as I've said. And then you get the windshields. You get windshields for the transmitter microphones, and you get windshields for the lav mics as well. And then other than that, there's just a few little tweaks. Obviously, the screen is different to the Wireless Go 2. It just gives you more information about what's going on within the unit. And then we've tweaked the actual capsule of the mic within it as well. Just a few little modernizations here and there just to bring it up to being as, you know, efficient and as effective as it can be. And that is really the kind of, you know, the bells and whistles features that kind of make it stand out from the Wireless Go 2.
Fantastic. Charging case, always appreciated, obviously.
Yeah.
Very important. And also, the fact that you can't clip the audio is really a game changer.
It is a game changer. And of course, having the time, being able to support time code means that all that audio that's recorded at 32-bit, there's no issues with aligning it with the picture nice and quickly. Yeah.
This show is a fantastic way to catch up with old friends. And I was super happy to spend a few moments catching up with my old buddy, Simon Turner.
I'm here with Simon Turner. Simon, it's so good to see you. We go back a long time.
Yeah, a long time. Since you ran a music school and I taught drums. How things have changed.
I know, right? Little did we know back then that we both end up here, right?
I know, right? And what a place. What a fantastic show. I mean, it's a sensory overload. For somebody who likes gear like me, you don't know where to look. There's so much to look at. It's fantastic.
And it's real. There's a lot of hustle and bustle here. I'm recording this on a Monday, which is usually known as the pro day. And you'd expect the footfall to be a little bit less than over the weekend, but it is crowded.
It is crowded. I've been queuing up for ages to look at lenses. And then you feel like you have to move on quickly to let somebody else have a go themselves. There's a lot of hustle and bustle, but it's great energy here. It's fantastic.
So, Simon, you've recently gotten full-time into the commercial photography game.
Yeah.
And I see you pop up on social media all the time doing all sorts of different things. Yeah. I looked at a football shoot morning.
Yes, yeah. I know. I'm really getting into sports just recently. Junior football. It's just become a big thing for me just recently. And I absolutely love it. It's a great way to spend a Saturday morning in the sunshine or the drizzle. You've got nothing else to do. Go and shoot some football. Make sure you get permission. Safeguarding is very important. But it's great fun. And the kids I've been shooting, I've been fantastic players, and the expression and the passion really comes across. If you're like me, I mean, I only like to take photos of something to tell a story, have some passion in it, otherwise why else are you taking the photo? And yeah, every shot is like, it's a golden moment. It's fantastic. I love it.
What I love about your photography is that you're so versatile, and everything I see that you do is amazing. I saw you go to London the other day, do some street photography.
Yeah.
Your black and white's phenomenal, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, that's really my true passion, really. I'm kind of do events, sports and weddings and stuff like everybody does. You've got to pay the bills, right? I really enjoy doing those. I really do. But my passion really is street photography, heavily influenced by Paul Strand. It was a big influence for me when I was younger, and I had a great time a couple of days ago just walked around London and try and reconnect with that. And I'm selling prints, so go to my website simonturnerphotos.co.uk, have a look and buy prints. Yeah,
phenomenal. I mean, it's one of the things we've been talking about a little while ago, to go into London and do some street photography, just have some fun. Because I think it's really important, you know, when you're doing a lot of commercial stuff, it's really important creatively to just take yourself out of that sometimes and then just do something that you love doing. And that could be street photography, it could be landscape, it could be all sorts of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you're anything like me, you kind of like dipping your toe into different things and exploring. I mean, it's a craft, right? So there's always something new to learn, a new skill to kind of look into and
and to explore. And always, like, I did some photography, did some real estate stuff yesterday for the first time. And it's something I've never really done before. It's a whole new skill set. And I really got into it. I really got excited about it. So, yeah, just go out there and explore and try new things, because, you know, you never know what might reinvigorate your passion for photography again, you know?
Absolutely. And if you've been following the Camera Tech podcast for a little while, you would have noticed we have all sorts of different guests on the show. We were talking about sports photography earlier.
Yeah.
Last week's episode, Gene Fruth, amazing baseball sports photographer, incredible imagery. You know, we talk about landscape, we talk about all sorts of different things. Let's talk about a video and photography show for a little while. Have you seen anything that sort of strikes your fancy?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Too, it's expensive.
Too much. I mean, I'm a R5 and R6 user, and I just had to play with the R3. Oh, my God, that thing is so fast. Great for sports. And the big lenses, there's a 800 lens on the Canon stand. Just very, very tempting, but... You know, it's big money. But what I'm excited about really is Sigma. I know Sigma are working on the RF lenses. I'm hoping to see some announcements about those things. I love Sigma lenses. They're much more affordable, but they're really punchy, and the colours and the dynamic range are so nice. I'm just waiting to hear an announcement about that. But there's nothing today. But you know, we'll find out.
Make sure you bring a large pocketbook when you come to the show. So no matter where you are in the world, you know, if you've got a chance to go to one of those shows, WPPI, Imaging USA, whatever it may be, you know, make sure you check it out, because it's great to have a look and have a feel when it comes to new products, but it's also a great way to make connections and to connect with other photographers. Because it can be a little bit of a lonesome profession, right?
It can be, yeah. I mean I've been taking... photos professionally for a long time, but only just recently went back into full-time freelance, and that was I love the fact that now I can just do whatever I want to do, you know, but at the same time I've got no one to bounce ideas off. So I can't turn around in the office and go, hey Dave, what do you think about such and such or whatever. So it's great to come to these things and meet friends and reconnect and there is a community, you know, particularly online, which is it's great place to meet and connect. But coming to places like this and face-to-face seeing our friends again, you can't beat it. Yeah,
amazing. Simon, thank you so much for talking to us on the show. And as I was having a closer look at Godox's latest offerings, I had a chance to chat with OpSpot about their really incredibly clever little cameras. Oh, really, check this out. I'm here at the OpSpot stand with Handy.
Yeah.
And we're talking amazing cameras with AI.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those cameras.
Okay, no problem. So maybe I can take
sure.
all those.
Sure.
Okay, so I would like to introduce our Tear Hair and the Tiny 2 for you. One is the AI camera with the power by AI that you can record the video inside the SD card, and you can also control everything on your phone. Yes. So maybe I can just show by myself, just make a demo show for you.
Absolutely.
Okay? So I can try by hand.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Hey, do you want to keep the mic and then I can maneuver the camera?
I think it's okay.
Yes,
it's okay.
Okay, yeah.
So I just...
Yeah, go.
Okay. So if you have wireless microphone, maybe it would be better.
All right. Boom. Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. Hang on. Okay, great. Perfect. Right, ready?
Okay. So I would like to introduce our Tear Hair and the Tiny 2 for you. With the AI powered, our Tear Hair can record the video automatically and follow the person who want to make the video. Yes. Maybe I can start to make the demo show here.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
Good for it.
Alex, I can use my hand. Okay, now there are many people. Camera follow me.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty incredible. You can see how the camera just follows him automatically without anybody maneuvering it.
Yeah. So you just need to use your hand. Yes, one time to stop, one time to stop checking. Then you can walk around. Then make any video you want here. Yes. And we also can use the zoom in, zoom out by my hand here. It's easy to use Linux. Yeah. Okay, so even I say okay, No, it's for recording. Record the video. Yes. And one more time, he stopped record the video. Yes. Okay.
Fantastic. So it's hand gestures. You can control everything just with hand gestures.
Right. And even we can control on your phone here. We have an app for the camera that you can control everything on your phone too. Like this, we can control the gimbal here. Yeah, we can controlling this camera. We can see that. Yeah. Come back to me. Okay. And if I want for zooming, zoom out. That is okay. And if I want to check somebody, just double touch. Now it's check someone. Double touch cancel. Double touch to cancel to check this. But somebody here, yes. And even you can record the video here. And we can go to streaming directly with your phone. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can directly stream it to YouTube, Instagram, whatever it is you want.
Right. That's true. Yeah. So easy to use. And even you make the video record, right? And you want to check, right? You don't need to take off the car, SD card. You just go to the phone here. And then you can check all video you made on the phone. Yes. Yes, here.
Phenomenal. So it couldn't be easier to control those cameras. What sort of resolution are we talking?
The resolution can be 4K, up to 4K. Yes. You know, with the HDMI output, we can support 4K. Yes. So if you want to make a video, we can also support 4K. And for the RTSP, it's 1080.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, it's absolutely phenomenal. No matter whether you want to make a YouTube channel, you know, record a podcast, this is just such an easy way to do it.
Right. It's very easy to use. And even, you know, someone just want to make the video record by themselves. So it's easy to use it directly. But for someone, they have some event, they have some production, they can also use this camera. Since we are support NDI function here,
right.
Just use our adapter, USB-C to the Ethernet adapter, then you can use the switch for the NDI functions. So you means that you can connect many camera you want.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for showing us those cameras. Absolutely amazing. I can see a ton of different uses for those.
Right.
Thank you so much, Andy, for taking the time and talking to us on the Camera Tech Podcast. Thanks,
Thank
man.
You.
All right. I'm here with Kai at Offspot. We had a look at those amazing cameras. Now we're going to learn how you can actually use them in a gaming setup. Kai, man, how's it going?
It's going okay. A little nervous, but I'm all right.
Perfect. Just show us how this actually works in action.
Yep. So essentially, we have a three-camera setup. We have two tail layers and one tiny two. We have them running into a Magwell splitter, which basically allows me to, in OBS, split between which display we want showing. The way that works is just in OBS, we just open a video capture device and register the Mage Roll as a video capture device, and then we can just switch it using the splitter.
You know what excites me about this is I gave a talk yesterday on easy video editing for podcasts over at the production stage. And so I was talking to people about how to edit your video podcast. But with this setup, it's actually super easy to film yourself with multiple cameras using multiple angles. Talk to us a little bit about the camera setup and the lighting that you use for this.
Yep, so the lighting we're using for this is just a bi-panel. It's just a simple, I think, 3600 to 5600 temperature. We've got it set pretty low, so it's, you know, there's a lot of other light. We have two tail layers and a tiny two. The tiny two is mounted on top of the monitor, and the two tail layers are off by the side, so we can have different angles. We have a normal face cam, a computer hand cam, and then also just a helicopter overview. The main feature about the tail layers that makes them so good and so expensive is the AI tracking that they use. So if I extend the face cam a little bit, you'll be able to see with a simple hand gesture, the cameras are now able to follow and track. So if you're in a stream or video setting where you're constantly moving around, it's very easy to, you know, mount the camera in one place, kind of move around a little bit and not have to worry about it. And there's also different commands for zoom, dynamic zoom, zoom out, etc. So it just really kind of makes it hands-free. You know, you can focus on the main video setting, whether that's gaming, streaming, a product showcase, whatever. It's really hands-off and easy and beginner-friendly.
So no matter whether you're a gamer, whether you're doing product reviews, or whether you just want to jazz up your Zoom presentation, having a camera set up like this that actually follows you around as you move can really add a whole lot of dynamism and dynamics to your video recording. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Kai, for taking the time to talk to us. Thanks very much, man.
And there you have it, folks. What an incredible show it has been this year. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it. The Photography Show will be back in March 2025, this time at London's Excel Center. I'll be there, and it will be amazing to see you there too. As always, remember to like and subscribe. I'll be back next Thursday with another amazing guest. Until then, keep shaking things up in the world of photography. See you then.